sitting right here. Chick Beach, make it over here? Come around. Anyhow, but yeah, like I was saying, yeah, I'm just going to do materials hauling and not worry about the people transport end of it. Just call it done. But I will say this much. That HD dump truck is something else. If you get a chance, go on YouTube and type in 2019 Suzuki Carry HD dump truck, and you can look at that thing. And except for having the bed extender, I think they call it, goes over the roof. Except for having that thing, it looks like it literally looks like a miniature version of the standard North American dump truck. It's kind of cool.
Dump truck there. Take it for you.
Yeah, it's all right, over another and get something to drink. What'd you say?
Looking little truck. Too bad it's only a gas burner.
But knowing what I know now, I think would be all right. Like I said, I'm going to buy a brand new one. So that's what I know, except for the mileage. It took them to get it from the dealer to the port. I went off the crate to his dealer. Except for that mileage, everything will be done from my hands, so I'll know from day one that if something goes wrong, it had to be something I did in the shop. I ain't got a question what the history of the truck was prior to my acquisition of it.
Go to build a nice little truck. Just too bad you think that a Tacoma's too big for what you need.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, that too, if I'm going to buy a truck outside, I can just buy you. Toyota Tacoma or Ford Ranger and just fabricate up a dump bed or have, get that done and probably save myself, say maybe $3,000-$4,000 for the truck. Just rough idea. I don't know what to run to use. I hadn't really priced it out. And then probably pay, for the parts I need for the dump, probably another $2,000 or $3,000. I don't know. But yeah, I was just thinking by dimensions, because I have to squeeze around trees and, stuff in the garden. And that's what I'm looking at, is flexibility to get in around the garden bed and stuff like that.
Hey, Matt, yeah, I understand about the size, but price-wise, about $6,000 for a used truck, and that's not a really good one, and another $4,000 or up for the stuff to make it a dump, because you can't even buy a dump bed trailer for less than $4,000. Not a good one, not new.
That is true. Yeah. It's a bummer. I really like that truck, and I was ready to pull the trigger on it, too. I mean, not like tomorrow, mind you, but I was ready to, go ahead and make that the one to go after, kind of like I did with the John Deere 4105, but I got to thinking, that size might come back to bite me when it comes to these, when I'm back up to the garden bed to offload chicken litter or something. Usually I just dump the chicken litter in the compost pile, but, if I decide one year they want to just go ahead and put it straight on the bed, then that might present an issue.
Toyota does still build a diesel that's from over there, and that would be the way to go. That way you only have to deal with one type of fuel, but small lawn equipment still uses gasoline, so I guess no big deal there.
That's for sure. Yeah, well actually, between our mowers and the 8N, we probably use more gas in the farm than diesel. We got more gas burners than diesel here. If you include the S250, we have two mowers, two cars, the tractor, and that's not including two strokes.
You might want to check into making sure you're not ruining your 8N by running unleaded fuel in it.
Roger. Well, I'm basically just doing it like the way Papaw did it back in the day. So, minus the starting fluid. If it does call for lead, I don't know what I'll do with the thing.
The reason they used lead was to cushion the valves against the valve seats. That's the big thing, is you have to use different valve seats if you're using unleaded fuel.
Roger, roger. Yeah, well, I'll have to rebuild it one day. But right now she's just still purring along, doing what she needs to do. And you know, there is two things though that I can say I am really disappointed about that tractor in. One, it doesn't have a tachometer. Not that that's a real big issue, but I just think it'd be a good idea, you know. I just always thought it was a good idea to have a tach on the tractor, because sometimes you can get away with a little less than what you need for the 540. Like on my tractor, you got a mark between, I think it was like 2,500 and 3,000 RPM. You can hit 540 and burn less fuel. They call it the EPTO setting. But anyway, that's one thing. And the other thing, actually, this is the biggest disappointment. Forget the tach, the biggest disappointment to me is why they didn't put a water temperature gauge in that thing. You look at other tractors like the Farmall Model M, Model C, John Deere's, they all have water temp gauges in them from pretty much the same era. So I'm sort of looking like, why didn't they just put a water temperature gauge on the thing? I mean, it just makes sense.
It just didn't come on the one that you have, but yeah, it would make a heck of a lot more sense to have that than anything.
But I don't know. They made a bulletproof tractor other than that one flaw, so I ain't gonna hold it against them, because their rest of the tractor stood the test of time for almost, well, 6-something years, 7 years, I don't know. Anyways, yeah, almost 70, I guess. So anyways, but, what did I say? I tell you something interesting that happened last week, too. I did some work on the headlights. Did I tell you about that?
What'd you do? Swap over to, LED?
Now, if I ever go that route, you just go ahead and shoot me and put me out in the pasture. Because then the tractor is not the tractor, in my opinion, anymore. Now, the lights just didn't, they weren't, one of them would work sometimes and sometimes it wouldn't. They just weren't as bright as I would think they should be. Well, the one that would work sometimes and sometimes it wouldn't, I would sometimes move the housing up and down and it would work. I told Dad, I said, I had to put a new light switch in, because the reman OEM look like switch, that pull-out switch that they had in there. Of course, it ain't weatherproof, and I guess it was, whenever it was last year, I got the tractor from Mumble, he put it in there, so last year, around almost a year later, switch burned up, and so I'm like, well, what am I going to do now? So we went over to New Holland, Matt Ferguson dealer down the road from us, called Kane Equipment. Picked up a light switch for a Ford tractor from them. I forget how much it was. But anyways, yeah, it's about $10, that's it. But anyways, looked at it and had the spade terminal on it. I'm like, okay, and the holes need to be bored out bigger. And I'm like, nope, this ain't going to work. I let the thing drop for a second. I was sitting there looking at it. I was like, well, we were working up at the store last week. I said, I need to go by Riley to get some spade terminals. And I'm like, well, I'll just go ahead and put the switch in and call it done. I was sitting there toying with the idea of what I wanted to do. I'm like, I'll just go ahead and bore the hole out and put the switch in. Can't be that bad. Well, my dad's like, you want, can you go, you can you go in by yourself? You want me to go with you? I said, ah, you can go with me. I don't care. So we both went in. And I'm like, I wonder if they make a waterproof switch I could stick in that thing and not have to bore that hole out in case I decide to go back to that original switch. Well, I didn't think about it, but I found a switch. A waterproof, weatherproof switch that I put on my backhoe for the light back here, which I'm thinking I'm just going to order one of them lights like I used for the back of the tractor put on it, one of the round pods, and just call it done. But anyways, so I found that switch. It was like $8. And brought the thing home, hooked it up, worked just fine. So I've got a toggle switch in there instead of a pull switch. But the light just didn't seem to want to do just right. So I went down and got some wrenches, and I took the one on the right, the left side off. And lo and behold, surprise, 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 the whole shaft that screws into the side of the hood was coated over thick in rust. So I went down to the shed, got a wire brush, put it on the drill, started sanding on the thing, sanded the, got this little, like a dome that goes, kind of a spacer, but it looks like a little dome that goes between the light housing and the hood. And so I sanded around the lip of that and around the hood where it touches there. And of course, the tube that the, actually screws in there, put that one on. And I'm telling you, I about got blinded by the 6-volt light. It was impressive. So, I went and got the other side off. Dad helped me get the other side off, and I did the same thing to it. I unhooked, well, actually, before I called him out, I unhooked a couple wires, maybe three, I don't remember. I unhooked a couple wires, though, off the distributor so I could get back in there, because that's another flaw that they had, is you have absolutely no space to work in there if you have to do something with them lights. So, anyhow, I unhooked the wire, got the light fixed, put everything back together, and went to crank the tractor up, and it started sounding like a Johnny Popper. And I'm like, what in the world? So I just drove it. This thing much up until it started sounding like a 12-gauge shotgun. Anywho, but long story short, after working on the lights, I ended up hooking a couple wires up backwards. It took me about a day to figure that out. Finally, I just started doing a process of elimination, and it turned out to be 1/4 hooked up backwards. So, yee-haw, the lights are finally fixed to hopefully never have to be worked on again.
There's a electrical top grease that you use a lot when you're doing housing wiring and stuff, when you're hooking copper and aluminum together to keep them from screwing things up. And but it's a gray color, and it conducts electric currents. Put some of that between it so that I was wondering if you had a bad ground there. That's what it sounded like to me when anytime lights are dim and not making a good electrical connection somewhere. But I'm glad to hear you got it figured out, KK4FTU.
Back in here. KK4HXB, did you find your way to this? Did you find your way in here? KK4RQF. Yeah, dielectric grease. I know exactly what you're talking about there. Use it in our radio connections as well. Unless there's a different formula for household use there, but I know exactly what you're talking about there. I just didn't have any on hand to work with, but I think for what it's worth, this would be all right for a long time. It probably took the age of the tractor to get to the point where it was, and I think in another 70 years, I probably won't even worry about it. it was an experience to say the least there, but now the only major problem I've got to figure out, I told Dad, I know what it is. I just hate to have to pull it apart. It's not that hard to do. I just hate to have to tear everything down again and lose all that fuel. But the only other problem I've got is the sediment bowl likes to leak a lot. So I've replaced the gaskets and I've replaced the bowl, and I've done all that. All thing I know to do is to get a new assembly put up in there, because I've already replaced all the internals. And so maybe one day I'll break down and do that again, because right now I have to, it'll run, but when I turn it off, I have to turn the fuel off before I can leave the tractor, otherwise it'll start just dripping away. So, yeah.
Anyways, but run it out before you decide you're going to tear into it.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to, that's probably what I'm going to do is I'm just going to run this tank till it runs out, and then I'll take the assembly off and replace it. And then I'll fill her back up and hopefully never have to worry about that again for a long time. But I think the main trick to the deal is mainly just run the thing like I do, you know, a few days a week. You know, drive to the mailbox or whatever. Keep fresh fuel runs through it. Keep the thing circulating. I think I ain't going to have an issue there.
What happened is let a piece of equipment sit for any length of time, but one of the things I can't understand why they did, why Ford did what they did, was they reversed polarity on their electrical systems on those things.
And I'm gonna tell you something hilarious. You know how everyone always, you know, every automotive or whatever, they always say unhook your ground and then unhook the hot. Well, I remember one time I had this one, I was doing something, this was before I got everything, oh, I remember what it was. I was doing some work with the starter solenoid and something else, and I had them boys from across the road before I finally told them to buzz off and never return. They come by, and I've been kind of teasing a little bit about sponges and stuff, and they saw me working on that thing, and I unhooked what they thought was the hot wire, because of course, you know, the reverse polarity thing, and they said, like this, they're like, you told us, and we've seen everywhere, they say unhook the ground first. What are you doing unhooking the positive first? And I'm like, why not? And they're like, yeah, it's wrong. I'm like, no, it's not considered positive ground. I had them so confused, they didn't ask no questions. The rest of the time they watched me work, it was priceless.
I really, honestly don't think it matters which one, as long as you don't have a complete circuit. That's the big thing. So you don't have a complete circuit, so you can short something out.
Agree with you there. It's like when I hook up a set of jumper cables, I just spread them as far out apart from each other without, you know, separating the loom as I can. And then I just hook them up and go. So... just make sure to stay away from any kind of metal surface and call it done. That's pretty much the way I've always done it. I don't do all this hook this one up first, that one up first stuff like everybody talks about it. I hook them up and go.
The one I hook up is not near the battery. When I hook a ground up, I make sure it's not near the gravity. It's on a bracket or somewhere away from the battery and the vents on it, and definitely not near a fuel source.
Roger, roger. Oh, mercy. But, yeah, I better get studying, because maybe next month we'll have another VE session, and y'all can come down and take the exam and get to kick back and relax.
Yeah, I ordered some parts. Thought I'd order all of the correct parts to put my chainsaw back together, and come to find out one of the parts looked like the same part that I needed. It just was a little too short, so I got to order another isolator mount for my Poulan.
Roger, roger. Well, you can't just put the model number in and pull exactly what you need on it?
That sticker's long gone, and I don't see it anywhere else on the saw.
Roger, roger. Well, they should have a stamp with a serial number somewhere on the thing, somewhere. But, Mercy, yeah, I tell you, I still shaking my head about that customer that brought that home light in. But I told my neighbor when I went up there to talk to him last week, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry about the man. I said, well, now you know why I don't like to work on those things. So, now you know for future reference, I'll do it. But you better hope for sure that they're going to pay.
Along with a KK4F to you.
Just like I was hoping it wasn't. But after getting in there and tuning the screws and doing some other assessments that I always do with them, it turned out to be a carburetor because I've seen little splatters of fuel come up through their intake, you know. But this thing, it was like flat up shooting a pea stream. It's like somebody was taking a leak out in the yard. Every time you pull that cord, it just spit it up. I'm talking a heavy stream, not just little splatters here and there. And I'm like, yep. So I called him up, said it cost, well, I said $20, because, you know, I got to have a little markup to do something with the shop. But the real price for, and I'm talking power bulb, fuel filter, fuel line, carburetor, spark plug, the works, was like $14 on Amazon, on eBay. Could have had it here in like maybe 2 or 3 days. And the lady's like, well, I don't want to spend $20 on it.
Oh well, I did, in all my research I was doing, I think I've narrowed it down to a couple different fall models, just by looks of them, I found out that Poulan is a subsidiary of Husqvarna.
I did not know that myself, so maybe I won't be so hard on working on their stuff then. I honestly didn't know who made Poulan. I thought it was MTD because they seem to make everything else you see out there. Troy Bills and John Deere mowers you see at Home Depot and Lowe's. And a few other odds and ends. So that's good to know. Maybe I will be a little more open to them knowing they at least come from a company with a decent name.
They were made back in Louisiana, and they were a respectable saw, but then they, I guess, went away. A lot of other things have, trying to make the saw cheaper and profit margin better for the homeowner, but yeah, they're a subsidiary of Husqvarna. I don't think they're up to the quality of the Husqvarna, but...
About the only saw that I'll stick with these days. I'll say Husqvarna, but my all-time favorite is steel. I'll just stick with the steel chainsaw and call it done. Which reminds me, I may get my grandpa's old steel out. I found that thing buried in the shed looking for something else. I may get that thing out and tear into it and see if I can't get it back running. If for nothing else, just get it back running just because it was his.
Rich, I found there's a website that has about any kind of model of chainsaw that makers has made, and they showed some pictures of some, and them rascals had a twin opposed cylinder rascal that was two-man. That thing was weird looking.
Dude, I'll show you one that I got down here in the shed. We got from a feller that passed away. I don't even know what model this sucker is. When I first tailed it, I'm like, yeah, it's got a short bar on it, and I'm like, yeah, this ain't something you want to prune your tree limbs with. I don't know what you'd want to do with it, but it definitely ain't for trimming up the shrubbery. It's pretty weird. It was, I don't remember what model that thing was.
Particular one had a gear set that changed direction. The engine was actually facing the, you pull the engine and it was kind of like a BMW motorcycle is the way it worked. It was weird looking. Somebody said this was back in the 40s.
Roger, roger. Oh, And before I forget about it, I looked up that video you told me about. I actually subscribed to his channel because he does some Metallica, and he actually did I forget what his latest upload was, but I wrote him, I said, yeah, if you ever consider doing any Creed or I gave a few other band groups and genres that if you ever consider any doing any of these, that'd be awesome, because that thing would sure enough work for it.
String heart guitar. The Sound of Silence.
Yeah. Oh, mercy, I tell you, I think I just done the most stupid thing I could ever think to do. I think I had a label from a mouth, you know, that mouth thing I told you I got? That was junk. And, anyhow, I went and pulled the thing off to clean off the top of my power supply where I just laid the thing. But I was doing some other odds and ends, wasn't thinking about it. Just looking around like, I need to try that thing out because I've already got the refund. And I'll be danged if that sucker ain't done, made itself part of the heat sink. So now I'm over here picking the thing out like picking your toenails out. Oh, mercy. Just another fun day in the neighborhood.
I did some preliminary looking what I'm going to have to do to replace the head gasket on my chipper shredder. I had a Troy Belt chipper shredder back. And going to have to do quite a bit of removal. I think before I do any of that, though, I know it's not got compression, but I'm going to put a gauge on just to be sure. I'm hoping that it's just a head gasket, but it could also be a valve sticking.
Roger. Besides the fact that it's not running, that got any other kind of symptoms that might lead you to that conclusion?
Last time I used it, it ran. I stopped it, put more gas in it, and couldn't get it to start back up. But it just doesn't have any compression.
To get to the valves on it.
I didn't do any exhaust or look, but it's got a Tecumseh engine on it, a 5-horse Tecumseh engine on it, and it's one of the models that has the horizontal 5-horse. It's a Garden Way Troy Belt, so it's not one that you would buy here lately at Lowe's. It's a 47279 or something like that. It's self-propelled.
Roger, Roger. Well, it should have an overhead valve, which would be nothing more than taking a few screws. That'd be the easy thing for you to check is see if you got a suck valve or something. That's why it's how easy it is to get to you, because like I said, it should be right there in front of you. But I don't know.
Head valve. It's got the H50 engine designated, which is probably a 80s model.
And Roger on that.
47279 is the model number of it. And it's solidly built. It's a heavy duty unit, but the belt drive for the self-propelled part comes out where the on the outside of the recoil end.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. Yeah, Earl sent me a text. They go to 39270, so I'm listening to that. You probably heard it here in the background.
But we're there. Fill me in.
Say.
Okay. Come there. They're talking to Gloom and Doom or showing out, trying to get the FCC to close them down.
This I just like listening to my brother on CB. It's downright hilarious. KK4RQO.
Enjoy it. So I take it he hadn't got his fan dipole up yet.
Probably not.
Not interesting over there, Cody?
Not really. Just same old, same old. Actually, take that back. One day last week, one of our neighbors at the end of the road, I told you we have like two or three houses on the road, and a lady in the gray house towards the highway, she called me up. And she never called me, just outright called me, usually send me a text to say something or whatever. She called me up and I said, "Well, what's going on? Are you okay?" And she's like, "No." And I'm like, "Well, what's wrong?" She's like, "Feel like killing something?" And I said, "Well, what's going on?" And she proceeds to tell me, she says, "I think we've got a rabid groundhog out here," says, attacked a couple of my cats. I'm like, and I'm saying this lady, her and her husband come up from Cumming, Georgia, but she's originally, I think, from Ohio or something like that. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, at the time you called me, the time it's going to take me to get my shotgun and load that thing up and then get down there at the circus and be halfway to dang Nashville.
Pepper, did you go up there and kill it?
Because like I said, by the time I'd get all my stuff together and, you know, get on the tractor and get up there, that sucker would be probably long gone anyways. But I told her, I didn't tell her, this director told Dad, and this is why they needed my gun up there, because she could have just stepped out the back, off the back porch, and she saw the thing run through the yard, shot the thing, and moved on. But it is what it is. But yeah, that was the most interesting thing that happened last week.
I don't have any cows step in a hole and break their legs or anything like that.
So we didn't have nothing like that. We did have one get bloated, though. Of course, they took care of that. My dad took care of that, gave her some stuff, and she blew it out of both ends. So, deflated her. But other than that, everything's been same old, just get up every day and find something to get into. So, yeah.
I hope you're doing well with selling eggs. You aren't collecting ammo still, are you?
Yeah, they're pretty much stockpiling again, but, you know, it is what it is. I just have to take it for what it is and run with it. I mean, I can't do nothing about it. So, but I do have a fellow supposed to be coming up here, I don't know, sometime him and his wife are coming up here just so they can get out of the house. The fellow I've talked to on the turnip truck net down there, let's see here. He's supposed to go up here and pick up 5 dozen. He said he wanted 2 flats, and I'm like, no, I'll just sell you 5 dozen, because it's easier for me to mess with cartons than to mess with the flats, because I don't have maybe 4 flats, and there's a lady who insists, except for right now, she is doing an 18 count, but she does 2 dozen. She insists on putting them on flat, so I guess it's, I don't know why, but I don't have a lot of flats to work with. So I just do it in cartons, because Lord knows I've got cartons that probably date back to probably the 1920s.
Yeah, I collect cartons here, and the wife uses them with stuff at school. If she doesn't get to them, I compost them, KK, for you to use.
Roger, Roger. Yeah, old Earl, I'm trying to make contact on, Oh, 80 meters, so I'm looking here to see where he's allowed. So, yeah, okay. if I can hear them on here. But, I don't remember if you got an HF up there or not, but if you do, if I can make contact with them, I'll let you know, and we can jump on 3900.
It's all boxed up, and I have to pull it out. It takes longer than it's worth right now, and my antenna needs to be reconfigured. It's barely in the air as it is.
Well, stand by for just a minute. I'm going to see if I can make contact with him, and if not, we'll both jump back on here. Roger.
I'm home for a few. Take my side.
Go clear for a few.